This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Rappaport to the rescue with award-winning animal advocate, best-selling author, journalist, and pet products creator, Jill Rappaport.
Hi, welcome to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport. It's an absolutely gorgeous day out here, and I had such an amazing event this week. I went with one of our beloved dogs from Southampton Animal Shelter to the Hampton Bays Middle School. I had such a blast. I thought it was an amazing event because we were able to take one of our beautiful shelter dogs, an incredible four-year-old boxer named Lily, and introduce her to all of these adorable children. And just seeing the faces and the excitement and the enthusiasm for Lily was just overwhelming. And the principal came up to me and said, "Can you come here 3 days a week? Because this is so educational for these young people." And it really is. If we get the message to our young, which are our future, then we are going to truly make a difference for animal welfare. And I felt a little bad because all of the students were saying to me, "I'm going to go home and tell my mommy and daddy about Lily." Can you imagine what went on in those homes? The parents are probably not big fans of mine right now, but hopefully they're going to understand the importance of rescue and adoption. And I'm praying that one of those students maybe end up with Lily. They were so in love with her, and she was so excited to be loved and just have everybody pet her and tell her how special she is. And that really is what the message is. We have so many animals in the shelter right now. And anyway, if we can't get you in, I'm going to bring them out to you to show you how wonderful they are. So I just wanted to share that little special story with you. And today we have a really great show. I'm so excited to catch up with a pal of mine that I used to work with on the Today Show. Of course, ladies, if you wear makeup, you know this name. Bobby Brown is a beauty industry legend, a true force to be reckoned with, a makeup artist extraordinaire whose brands have always been an absolute fave among so many celebrities. She's also a best-selling author, and come this fall, she has a memoir coming out. Hopefully, she'll share a little of that with us. In addition, she's also a sought-after speaker and a true serial entrepreneur. So when we come back, I'm getting my lipstick and blush on, so I'm ready for Bobby Brown on Rappaport to the Rescue. Stay tuned.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Want to know who the latest trendsetters are in Hollywood? How about Irish setters? Find out who's been spotted with Spot, chowing with her chow, and shopping for Gucci with their Poochie. Get the scoop on all the latest celebrity pet patter right here. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport. One of the many things I love about this podcast, because you can't see us, is I basically can do it in the nude if I want to, right? I hang out with my guests. We don't have to worry about hair and makeup. We just chat away. But today, I have to admit, I did put a little blush, a little eyeliner, because I have the grand dame, the queen of the makeup industry. And I am so excited, Bobby Brown, to have you here. And I have to tell you, when I was telling my friends, Christy Brinkley, Lisa Greenberg, everybody's like, "Oh, I love her new line, Jones Road." And they went on and on about your makeup as if it's a staple in their life, like drinking water in the morning.
Ah, that's so nice to hear. And first of all, I just ran from yoga. I have a touch-up appointment afterwards. And then the first thing I did is, "Courtney, remind me, is it a video?" And she said, "No." So thank you for that.
Well, you always look great. And I said in our intro that we're pals from the Today Show.
Yeah.
And I remember we'd be on, I'd be at that time in the beginning was the entertainment reporter. Then I became the animal advocate. And Bobby, you would be in the studio getting the beautiful models ready. And I always was so impressed with your calmness, your naturalness. And that is what you are all about, your makeup. It's all about pure and natural.
Well, thank you for that. And I'm glad you think I was calm. I guess, you know, my insides and my outsides are different. You know, I guess I'm like that duck that I'm sitting on top of the water, but my feet are kind of going up and down. But look, my makeup style has always been about enhancing the person who's sitting there, not trying to change who you are and not trying to make you look like someone else. So, you know, some people like a really strong makeup with smoky eyes and red lips. That's fine. The only makeup I don't like, there's two things in makeup that I really don't like. One of them is contour.
Oh,
I don't understand why people think they have to change their face. And I think most of the contour looks dirty and it doesn't look great. And I'd rather enhance and bring out the positive things about your face and ignore the things that you might not love. So I don't like that. And I don't like when people use a foundation that looks like a mask. When I'm done with the foundation, I just want it to look like my skin is better.
And you always look so natural. And the models always look so natural. That's what I love about the Bobby Brown style, is that it's just bringing out the beauty and you really don't see the makeup.
Right. Well, it's so funny. The Bobby Brown style from the brand is different than the Jones Road style. So I know it gets confusing, but I am Bobby Brown. I was born. That was the name that was given to me. So I know it gets confusing to people. But Jones Road, I think, is just like the next step into what I think women should do to make themselves just look, you know, better. And it's not about looking younger, Jill. It's about looking just fresher and better.
Well, your career, you are such a titan. You know, they say serial entrepreneur. That's like, I feel an understatement for you because, you know, it was hard enough just to get a career going. You built an empire and that had your name, right? And you worked for big corporate America. Tell our audience how you built this brand. And then all of a sudden, your name was not part of you anymore.
Well, I started as, you know, really a makeup artist. I studied theatrical makeup in college. They didn't have a program, but I designed my own. So I graduated college and moved to New York after a year, after I waitressed, so I knew I could support myself. And I had no clue, Jill. I never know what I'm doing. And I just started looking through the yellow pages. Who can I call? Who could tell me, you know, what it means to break in? And I just started doing that. And I built a portfolio and I started doing makeup for little jobs here and there. And, you know, 7 years later, I got my big break in the fashion industry, which was a cover of Vogue. So that kind of set me up for a nice freelance career. But during those 7 years, I had this chance meeting at a book signing because I had a couple books out. And I met this wonderful woman, Fran. And turns out she loved me on the Today Show. And she said, I think you should be on it. And I said, I'd love to be a regular. She said, honey, Jeff Zucker is my grandson.
Oh, and Jeff Zucker, everybody, if you don't remember the name, and you should, he's a titan in media, at the time was executive producer of the Today Show and it rose his way up the ranks in his 20s.
Right. So I, you know, that also, by the way, there was no social media.
Right.
That put Bobby Brown Cosmetics on the map. And for whatever reason, I wanted to be taken serious. Everyone had titles, right? You know, editor, the news editor, the fashion, everything. I wanted to be the beauty editor. And Jeff looked at me like, huh? And then he said, okay. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to stand up here and sell. I don't want to be a, you know, a schlocky makeup artist saying, oh, darling, you must have this. But I wanted to teach people how to use blush. I never mentioned my brand. I never mentioned, you know, what the products were. People ran to the counters and they bought them anyway. So it worked out.
That's amazing. I mean, I was on the Today Show and it certainly didn't launch me the way it did. So wait a second. Talk about Bobby Brown, Estee Lauder. I mean, it became a name that everybody had to have in their makeup case.
Well, I think when, you know, Bobby Brown Cosmetics was born, I was a freelance makeup artist doing the fashion thing in New York. I met Steven, love of my life. We got married, moved to the suburbs of New Jersey. And I didn't want to be the makeup artist that was getting on planes to go to the different shoots. I wanted to have a normal life, but I wanted to still do makeup. So, you know, we had a baby, we renovated a house, and I just started doing jobs that didn't take me away. And then I just had an idea for a lipstick. I met a chemist, I made one, and then I made 10 colors. And then I met at a party a woman, and I said, what do you do? She was a cosmetics buyer at Bergdorf. We launched in Bergdorf Goodman, you know, selling out of our house first and then Bergdorf. So, and then we had to really catch up and figure out what the hell we were going to do.
Yeah, because it literally began to explode.
It did. Right? It did. It took off. Very similar to kind of what has happened with Jones Road. I thought it was going to be a little teeny thing, and it has also blown up. So Estee Lauder came calling after Bobbi Brown Essentials, it was called at the time, was 4 years old, you know, and at 4.5 years old, they bought Bobbi Brown Cosmetics, and I became a corporate employee, and I stayed 22 years.
So let me talk about that transition. You went from, you know, owner, creator, then employee, corporate employee, then major shift in your life, right, Bobbi?
Yes. I mean, for whatever reason, all the things that were happening, being on the Today Show, being in magazines, building this, you know, I think when I left, it was $1 billion, building this big brand. And honestly, I'm not a corporate citizen. I'm not. So I needed to do things to kind of fuel my curiosity and my creativity. So I became the editor-in-chief of Yahoo Beauty when they asked. I'm like, sure, that sounds like fun. I did a line of glasses. I'm like, sure. And, you know, everything I had to fight for.
Well, looking at you, you're known for your glasses. You have a great signature black pair on now, and that's a symbol, part of Bobbi Brown. You always have the cool glasses. But going from corporate America to that ultimate life change that led to Jones Road, what happened then?
Well, look, I was 22 years an employee, and I would say, you know, 15 years was glorious. You know, Leonard was in charge. I just had to ask him, and he'd say yes, no, whatever.
Leonard Lauder.
And then we had another CEO who was incredible. And then things started changing, and it became much more corporate and much more not exactly where I was able to use my creativity and my curiosity. And it was a struggle for a lot of years, and then it just didn't work anymore. And it was time to do something different. And, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do, but the last year was awful. And it took me a long time to really get my head wrapped around of who I was. I was 60 years old. My kids were out of the house, and I didn't have a job.
And yet, you know, for people listening to this, money was never a problem. You know, obviously, you had the most incredible career, and it just kept building, building, building. But you truly felt lost at that point. You had had an empire, and you were like, well, what do I do now?
You know, and I was always complaining how busy I was and how exhausted, but I'm not an all or nothing person. So I literally went from having a full calendar, like for months at a time, and so many like issues and problems on my head that I was carrying around. And all of a sudden, it was gone. We parted ways. It was gone. There was noise all of a sudden, right? There was, you know, I was so busy, I didn't think about anything. And I had to deal with it. And I started doing little projects because that's who I am. And I realized I missed beauty. I didn't know what I was going to do. And, you know, I had an opportunity to go turn Avon around. Could you imagine like me going into that another big corporation? Luckily, it didn't work out. So it never happened. But there was a lot of meetings. And then I just came upon this formula called Miracle Balm. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is a game changer.
Tell us what Miracle Balm is and why you knew the lightning bulb moment went off for you.
Why I knew this was a miracle product is because at 60 years old, you know, you look in the mirror and, you know, you're like, oh, shit, I look tired. What happened? Well, I was probably tired, but and I made this product that was I didn't even make this product. It was a happy accident. I tried to make something else. And then this came and I'm like, that's not what I wanted. But anyways, I stuck my fingers in and I put it on my face. And I turned to the girls that were working for me, by the way, who were like, you know, 25 and 30 years old. I'm like, oh, my God, this is a miracle. Look at my face. And they're like, oh my God. And then the 25 and 30 year olds put them on and they're like, oh my God, look at my face. So we started doing it. And the whole time, by the way, I wanted to really try and see if I could make formulas with clean ingredients, because I really got into the movement. I'm a health fanatic. I went back to school, got my degree as a health coach. So I wanted to see what was possible. And I love a challenge.
Obviously. And, you know, Jones Road, for those of you who don't know, is a street out here in the Hamptons. I want to talk about that. Like, all of a sudden, this lightning bulb moment comes up in your head. You've created something you truly believe is revolutionary. At that point, Bobby, did you say to yourself, I'm starting a new business. I'm back.
You know what? I was excited about the possibility of what this could be because, you know, when I was starting to like ideate what I could make, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll make a brown pencil, because I knew how to make the best brown pencil, both in formula and color and wearability. And, you know, maybe I'll sell it on Etsy. So I never did. And I had a non-compete. So I had to wait to launch this new brand and even talk about it until my very long non-compete was up. So we had 4 or 5 products when Jones Road launched. And the only reason it's called Jones Road is Stephen and I were driving to the Hamptons and we were discussing how if we, you know, Stephen, always the voice of reason, if I didn't get a name of this brand by Monday, then I would not be able to launch it the day my non-compete was up. And there was no one going to stop me. So I saw on Waze, my head was down on Waze, Jones Road. And it was actually not East Hampton. I think there's a Jones Road around West Hampton or before that. But I pay homage to the Jones Road in East Hampton, too.
That is incredible. I mean, you know, when I thought about what's the significance? Did she meet her husband there? Did she find out she was pregnant, you know, when she was driving out to the Hamptons one time? So basically, it was that simple.
Yeah. And it reminded me, first of all, my name's Brown. I couldn't use Brown. All right. Jones sounds good. And it reminded me, like I visualized, it sounded like a bespoke brand from the UK. And I'm a giant Anglophile. And I said, okay, it just makes sense. And, you know, a lot of people are like, Jones Road, huh? But now it's caught on.
Well, what's so amazing to me is your name still lives on because Bobby Brown is still here. How do you feel about that? Yes, you have this new line that is really the rage, but also your legacy is still there too, which is really a double bonus, isn't it, Bobby?
You know, honestly, I try not to think about it because if I ever go into the stores and see what Bobby Brown is now, it just isn't what Bobby Brown was when I was there. Things are different. Other people are making decisions and that's okay. They bought the company. So, you know, when you sell the company and you sell your rights, you know, you can't complain about it. It's like, so I try not to see it, because it's not what I would do.
That's so interesting because I still have the original stuff that you gave me when we worked together on the Today Show. I cherish that too, because everything that you've done, I mean, it's incredible, but the Jones Road products, oh, that the shimmer and the sheen on your skin, the lip balm, I really revolutionary.
Oh, thank you. You know, and yes, I'm a woman of a certain age. And when I put it on, it doesn't settle into my lines. And I still have lines. I'm an unusual person. I don't shoot anything in my face. So I still have
always been all natural.
Yes. I tried Botox once or twice and it was a disaster. And I was like, all right, it's not for me. And I'm so grateful that I, you know, didn't, because I actually like an aging face, especially when they're healthy.
Oh, and that's such a beautiful message considering what we look at today.
Yeah.
Looking at today, you see people and you think that isn't even the same face I remember that they were born with. It's crazy.
Right. And the lips kill me.
The lips kill me. Bobby, you and I are so on target with that. I think it's the single worst thing a woman could do to her face.
No, I agree. And by the way, I have a lot of friends that do very light Botox and they don't look like they've done anything and it looks great. And every, you know, of course, I look in the mirror and I see my forehead lines and I'm like, oh, maybe I should get light Botox.
I just cut bangs.
Smart. I don't look good. I don't look good in bangs. But as soon as I like have that thought, I just get rid of it. I'm like, no, Bobby, that's not who you are. And my husband would, and my kids would kill me.
That's what I mean. You're always the most natural. You just embrace what life gives you. And everyone thinks of you just with makeup, but you've done so many other things. I mean, let's talk about your projects in New Jersey. But, you know, before Jones Road and after Bobby Brown, you embarked on quite an interesting project with your husband.
Right. Well, you know, it was amazing. When I left Bobby Brown and I called Steven and said, okay, I'm free. He said, I've been waiting a long time for you, which was so sweet. And he said, I just bought this property and I'm either going to turn it into condos, but if you're up for it, I thought it'd be really cool to make a very hip hotel. And I was like, huh? Like, he never mentioned this desire to be a hotelier, but I said, sure. And so we worked on this project. It took us about a year and it launched, and it's been, I guess, 5 years now. And it's just the coolest, cutest, nicest hotel, very bespoke and boutique. Katie Couric came and did a thing with dogs because it's a dog, it's a pet friendly hotel.
Well, of course, it would have to be, knowing your love of animals. And we're going to transition into that in a moment, which is the whole reason for this show. But I want to talk about how it seems to me, you know, as everybody climbs the ladder of success, if we're fortunate enough to do so, we get knocked off, we get fallen off those rungs and, you know, brush off, heal the bruises and move on. Have you been knocked off ever? It always seems you keep rising to the top.
You know what? Resilience is like, I don't know how you get it. And it's so much as attitude, right? It's like what you do with what's handed to you. I have had many disappointments and many like mess ups and many, you know, things that didn't work out. I don't choose to call them failures. I choose to say, okay, that didn't work. Could I have done something different or better? Or maybe it just wasn't meant to be. Let me do something else. And I have a lot of like friends that are, they come to me and they're, you know, founders of big brands and they sold the brands and it's not working out and they're leaving the big corporations and they're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know. And I'm like, okay, stop. Just don't do anything yet. Like just go through the emotions and then just think about what makes you happy and what you want to do.
Wow, that's such great advice because it can be so discouraging. And you're not just trying to get a job, you're building an empire. Every time your next chapter is bigger and better.
But I don't think about, oh, I want to build an empire. It's like, what do I want to do? So, you know, I was on the Today Show for 14 years. And I'm sure you know as well as I do when you get that call that says, oh, it's been great. We love you, but we're not using you anymore, right? 14 years. You know, I was bummed. I wasn't happy. They turned over new producers, whatever, you know, and I wasn't happy. So I felt bad for a day. And then I picked up the phone and called my friend Elvis Duran. I said, can I be the beauty editor of, you know, the Elvis Duran show? And he said, okay. And, you know, he's got more listeners than the Today Show has viewers. So I'm like, okay, transition.
And ironically, you've been back on the Today Show since.
I have. Not a regular gig, but of course, when they call, I jump because I still love it, you know, but everything has changed, right? Like for a while, you could only be on as a guest if you paid. I'm like, I'm not paying. I'm not doing that. So yeah, someone calls, I go on. I mean, Gayle King did a great piece on me for CBS. You know, if I was a regular on the Today Show, that wouldn't have happened. So good things come out of change.
Well, knowing you and your family, and in fact, your husband really is incredible. We had dinner one night, a group of us, and he spent the whole dinner telling me what I should be doing differently. And I so appreciated it because he said, you're not marketing yourself. I mean, the word branding
was
foreign to me. And he was telling me what I needed to be doing. And I did create my own pet line of products. And he had an influence over me because he really said, you must look at the bigger picture.
He's right. And he has no experience in branding or building brands except the brands we built together. But he's just really smart.
Visionary.
Really smart.
And you know, you built this hotel, which of course is dog friendly. And what I loved about you, and I saw you this summer at a wonderful screening in Sag Harbor, I know how much you love your additional children. You're a pet parent to, I say four, because you have your own dog, Pippa, but three grand dogs, right?
Exactly. I am a proud grandma. I have two grandchildren now and I have grand dogs. So it's pretty awesome.
And all rescues?
They're all rescues. And, you know, my dog and my son, our two dogs are a little challenging. There's a little anxiety, protectionism. And, you know, they're the sweetest, warmest dogs. But if they don't like you and someone comes up to them or moves the wrong way, they will.
I had one like that.
And it's stressful. It's really stressful.
Yes, yes. In fact, mine, who I just lost, my Oscar Mayer, who's in heaven, he was my appendage.
Oh.
When people would come in the house, I had to keep the gates up and keep him upstairs because he was unpredictable.
Yeah, unpredictable is really good way because, you know, you think, oh, she's so much better now, she's four, and then you kind of relax how you treat her, and then something happens. And I'm like, okay, no more. I don't care. She's definitely getting locked away when workmen come or, you know, the cleaning lady locked away.
Well, and I've seen you and heard you talk about these animals and how they've added to your life, your creativity and what joy they give us. I know during COVID, I am not married and I don't have children, but my fur children, as a pet parent, I was never lonely.
Right, for sure. And honestly, even now, Pippa sleeps in our bed. Most nights she's on top of my husband, but the nights where her head is on the pillow next to me and I wake up, I used to love my children when they were young. They were always in my bed and, you know, and now I have my dog. So I feel very lucky.
And also the importance of adoption. You know,
right.
People think, oh, I'll never find what I want in a shelter. And I say, what are you looking for? You know, German Shepherd Rescue, Labrador Rescue. You can find any purebred, mixed breed, whatever you want. They're waiting for you in a shelter.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm so glad that, you know, someone of your caliber that you know and understood the importance of rescue. And your children, they love animals so much and they get it just like you do.
Yeah, we've always had a dog. We had our first dog before we had kids. And so they've never not been dog people. But my kids have never once walked the dogs when they lived in my house. They all walk their dogs now, but never once. Never picked up poop in the backyard. I even tried to give them, you know, a dollar of poop and they wouldn't do it.
And you have three incredible sons.
Yeah, I do.
I understand that they are responsible for your social media craze. Didn't they push you and say, Mom, you got to get on TikTok?
One of our sons, I mean, I have different relationships with all three. One of our sons is now the CEO of Jones Road. And, you know, he joined the company first from freelance helping as like a not social media, but just like phenomenal marketing, like, you know, digital marketing. So, yes, he's the one that put me on TikTok and that went viral. And then, I mean, he pushes me and he's involved in every little thing. I mean, he's, you know, Mom, we've got to do more products like this, Mom. And I'm like, oh, my God. Now my son is, you know, I've gone from having the corporate guys tell me what to do to now my son. I'm like, okay.
Oh, well, he sounds obviously brilliant because you're reaching, what, 8 million people?
We have a lot. I'm not good at math, so I have no idea.
Oh, my. And that's another thing I love about you. You're like, oh, really? Wow, is it that many? But thank goodness for your son. Are your other two boys entrepreneurial as well? Because you and your husband are incredible.
Yeah. I mean, they all are. I mean, our oldest son now works for a bank because a startup he worked for sold to this bank. So now he's like experiencing, you know, life in a corporation, which, you know, is good for him to kind of combine both. He's a brilliant kid. And our youngest son who went to art school, I thought he'd be a creative director, is managing the family office. He's into investments. Like, who knew? Who knew?
But what is it like being surrounded, Bobby? You're the only chick in the house and the chick in the family. What is that like? You have these,
well,
you know, four wonderful men supporting you 24/7.
Right. Well, growing up, I also had two nephews that were part of our family that always traveled with us. So I was I was not the queen. I called myself the mutler, right? I was the mom butler. But now there's, you know, out of all those boys, only one's not married. They're married. One of them has a daughter. And my nephews, one's married, one's engaged. So I have a whole bunch of girls now to deal with. And it's different. Girls are, you know, different than boys, let me tell you.
Well, how excited are they to have you in their lives with this great makeup all around?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them. You know, there's definitely eye rolls.
Oh, you know, your life is so unbelievable. The roller coasters and also the heroic and the interesting rise that you've had and dealing with corporate America and now your own business. It only makes sense that you would do a memoir, which is coming out in September. But Bobby, if I I remember, I think it was Barbara Streisand was on some show and she said, it's the greatest thing, but man, it took like 2 or 3 years of my life. What is that like, the commitment to doing a memoir?
Well, you know what? It was really cathartic. I recommend it, even if you don't want to publish it. I've been telling my friends, I think they should do memoirs just for their kids and their grandkids, because everyone's got a story. Every single person, like, you didn't start here. Everyone's got a story. I worked with a writer for like 4 months and it wasn't the right person. And I quit. And I said, I'm not doing this. And then my agent found another writer who I ended up talking to, you know, twice a week for an hour. I did it while I walked. And just, it was really, I don't see shrinks or life coaches at the moment. So it was really interesting for me to see what I saw and observed as a kid to what I was like as a teenager and how it's all kind of weaves itself together. So fingers crossed that people will read it and say, wow, if she could do this, I should just be a little easier and work.
It's going to be, I would imagine, just filled with wonderful life lessons. A lot of these memoirs, you know, they always had the shock titles like, oh, you know, I had a sexual experience that would change my life. You know, there was always, I find with the memoirs, when you hear people promoting them, there's always some tabloidy thing that seems to get the attention of people. Do you have any of those in your book that are going to be your title moments that we're going to hear about?
No, I'm actually take a pen and cross them out when they get suggested, because I am not that person. And, you know, I didn't want to call it a memoir at first. I'm like, no, this is just life lessons and entrepreneurial and blah, blah, blah. But then you realize it's my story, right? So it is a memoir. And, you know, the first, I've literally taken a pen. By the way, I print out things and I fix them with a pen. And then I take a screenshot and send it to someone to retype because I don't type. And it works for me. This is my 10th book. But, you know, Stephen has literally read every word and rewritten a lot of them and softened things and just said, it's not necessary to say this like this because, you know, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. And there has been a lot of angst being part of whatever you're part of. And there's people that upset you. And I don't want to be that person that I think you'll understand what I'm saying without being like salacious.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a classy book that has dignity and really exemplifies who you are in a nice way. And it right. doesn't have to give those what I call TMI moments.
Right. Yes. Oh, yes.
I'm with
yeah.
you.
Yeah. No, I'd rather sell less books. Right. But I also like there's a couple more chances for me to, you know, print out the whole thing, read it, make some changes. And then when I'm happy with it, I want all three of my boys to read it just to make sure they're comfortable with everything. I mean, they're the ones I care about most.
Bobby, you are really an inspiration. I mean, always professionally, but personally, hearing how you live your life and the values that you have never gotten in the way of corporate America or money or what you can buy or what you can do. It's all about who you are and being happy from within.
And that's why the book is called Still Bobby, because I am still Bobby.
Well, that is a wonderful note to end this inspirational interview with. I mean, you really are incredible. And you have to promise me you'll come back in September so we can really promote the book.
Well, absolutely. But I got to tell you, you're the first interview, because we announced it yesterday. You're the first interview. And I'm sure if the publisher hears this, would probably say, don't do the interviews now. But you are the first. And it is available for pre-sale, everyone. And they want you to sell a certain amount before the book goes for sale, because that's how you get on the New York Times list. So
it's on Amazon now, pre-sale?
It is. Yeah, it's on Amazon and a few other places, Barnes & Noble and somewhere else.
All right, I'm ordering today and I can't wait to speak to you so you can autograph it for me.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jill. I really appreciate it.
And thank you all for listening to this edition of Rappaport to the Rescue. Put my Jones Road lip balm on now.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.